Volume 49, Number 7 of The Friend Magazine for July 2019. Contents, Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, Sharing the Gospel, President Dallin H. Oaks. Will You Come to My Baptism? Family Night Fun. Full of Good Works. Hello from Cambodia. Mara the Pioneer. Lost in the Amusement Park. The Living Christ. Bright Idea. Apostles Around the World, Elder Neil L. Anderson. Friends and Other Faiths. The Perfect Match. I'm Christian. Friend to Friend, It's His Church, Elder Taniela B. Wakolo. Show and Tell, Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids, For Older Kids. Courageous Examples, A White Cap for Florence. What's on Your Mind? Food and Fun. Score 1 for Honesty. Bike Rack Buddies. Music to Be a Pioneer. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff, Modern Pioneers. Fun Stuff, Find It. Friend Junior, for Parents of Little Ones. Hi Friends. Prayer at the Market. When I Pray. Scripture Stories, Jesus Said to Share the Gospel. Coloring Page, and A New Friend at Lunch. End of contents, read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail. Send something in for the Kindness Garden. See how on page 39. Testimony Plant. I read The Friend at least twice all the way through. I made my own testimony plant. January 2019. Cosette R., age 8, North Carolina, USA. He Calmed the Waters. Sent in by KLP, age 7, Iowa, USA. My favorite story was He Calmed the Waters, February 2019, because I will be getting baptized this year. It might be scary at first, but it will be okay. It will be fun getting baptized, and my family will be there. Coconut Ice. We enjoyed making and eating the coconut ice candy, January 2019. We froze the coconut ice candy outside in less than 2 hours because it was so cold. Claire and Reuben S., ages 10 and 5, Alberta, Canada. Has anyone ever asked you if you're a Christian? On page 24, you'll learn why the answer to this question is yes. Jesus Christ asked us to help share His gospel. On page 4, you can read about a boy named Oliver, who did just that. Write and tell us how you share the gospel. Keep sharing, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail, read by Alyssa Peterson.
From the First Presidency, Sharing the Gospel, by President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency. The Savior Jesus Christ told His disciples to share the gospel with everyone on earth. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We need every member of the church to help take the gospel to all the world. Here are some ways you can help. 1. Love everyone as your brothers and sisters, like Jesus taught. 2. Keep the commandments so you can be a good example. 3. Pray to know who is ready to learn about the gospel and how you can share it with them. And 4. Help others learn more about Jesus Christ. Missionary work means loving and helping others. No matter how the other person responds, you are a successful missionary if you share the gospel with love. End of the article, Sharing the Gospel, by President Dallin H. Oaks. Read by Scott Christopher.
Will You Come to My Baptism? By Rebecca Hoag and Eric B. Murdoch, based on a true story. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Oliver couldn't wait for the week to go by. Next week was the big day he'd been waiting for since he was 4 years old. He was going to be baptized. Oliver was so excited about his baptism that he wanted to shout it from the rooftops for all of England to hear. He couldn't wait to tell his friend Dylan at school.
"I can't believe it! My baptism day is finally almost here,"
Oliver said.
"It's going to be brilliant."
Dylan looked confused.
"I thought only babies got baptized."
"Kids have to be at least 8 to be baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,"
Oliver said.
"That's my church."
"Oh, cool,"
Dylan said. Suddenly, Oliver had a thought.
"Would you like to come to my baptism?"
"Sure, but I need to ask my parents first."
"Okay."
Oliver was excited that Dylan might come to his baptism. This gave him another idea.
"I don't want to share my baptism with just one friend. I want to invite as many people as I can."
Oliver rushed home to tell Mum he had a plan. On Sunday, Oliver started his plan. He shared his testimony during fast and testimony meeting. At the end, he said,
"I'm getting baptized next Saturday, and I want everyone to come. Will you please invite anyone you know who isn't a member or who doesn't come to church to my baptism?"
He felt like a missionary. He really liked that feeling. Over the next week, Oliver invited friends, family members, and teachers to his baptism.
"It would mean a lot to me if you could come."
As Saturday got closer, Oliver started to wonder how many people would actually show up. What if they were all too busy or didn't want to come? He said a short prayer that at least a few people would come. Then he stopped worrying about it. He knew he had done a good thing just by inviting them. Besides, the most important thing about the day was getting baptized. When he got to church on his baptism day, Oliver could hardly believe his eyes. A lot of his friends were there to support him. He even saw a bunch of people he didn't know. He waved when Dylan walked in with his parents. When it was time to be baptized, Oliver stepped into the warm water. His dad took his hand, as they had practiced. Then he said the baptism prayer and lowered Oliver into the water. Before he knew it, Oliver was standing up again, dripping wet and grinning. He knew he was following Jesus' example. After Oliver changed into dry clothes, his dad and a few other men confirmed him a member of the church. They gave him a special blessing and invited him to receive the Holy Ghost. Afterward, Oliver got to share his testimony.
"Thank you for coming to support me on my special day. It means so much to me. I'm grateful for my baptism, and I believe that this is Christ's church on the earth."
Afterward, people came up to congratulate Oliver.
"Thanks for inviting me,"
Dylan said.
"I had a good feeling inside."
"Everyone has been so kind,"
Dylan's mom said.
"We have felt very welcomed."
That night, Dad sat down at the end of Oliver's bed.
"What a great day,"
Dad said. Oliver nodded.
"I'm glad I could share it with my friends."
The authors live in Kent, England, and Utah, USA. See Family Manual, pages 114 and 115.
End of the story, "Will You Come to My Baptism?" Read by Van Farnworth, Kate Strongen, Sean Nelson, Austin Peterson, and Kaylin Lue.
Family Night Fun. Here are some ideas you could use for home evening. Song, "Call to Serve," Children's Songbook, page 174 to 175. Scripture, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Activity, "Part of being Christian is helping others like Jesus would." See pages 24 to 25. Create a family helping plan together. First, get a large piece of paper or poster board. Next, draw pictures or cut pictures out of magazines to show ways your family can help others. Have each family member make a goal to help others this week. Write the goal somewhere on the board. Display your family plan where you can see it this week. Helping Hands Cake. Have different family members do different steps so everyone is helping. Step 1. Whisk together a small package of instant pudding and 1 1/2 cups milk. Stir in a cup of whipped topping. Number 2. Place graham crackers in the bottom of a baking dish and add a layer of pudding. Then, another layer of crackers and another layer of pudding. Each time you add a layer, read a goal from your family helping plan. Repeat until you are out of graham crackers and pudding. Step 3. Keep in the freezer until you're ready to serve. Cover with the rest of the whipped topping and add fruit on top. Cut in slices and enjoy. More ideas. Read Friends and Other Faiths, page 21. Talk about how it is important to respect people who are different from us. Use page 7 to talk about women in the Bible. Follow up with the family helping plan you created. How did it go? Consider setting new goals this week. Read Score 1 for Honesty, page 36, and talk about why it's important to be honest. You could even act out the story outside. End of article, Family Night Fun, read by Mia Peterson.
Full of good works. These three women from the New Testament help people. Read what they did and then match the pictures. What can you do to help someone today? Priscilla and her husband made tents for a living. She taught about the gospel with her husband. They may have held church meetings in their home. See Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Lydia sold purple fabric dye. She felt the Spirit and decided to be baptized. She gave the disciples a place to stay in her home while they were traveling. See Acts chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. Tabitha gave to the poor and sewed clothes and coats for those in need. After she died, Peter raised her from the dead. See Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 40. See Family Manual, page 108. End of Full of Good Works, read by Ethan Nelson.
Hello from Cambodia.
Hi, I'm Paolo, and this is Margot.
We're visiting Cambodia. Here's what we've learned. Cambodia is in Southeast Asia. About 16 million people live there, and half of the country is covered in tropical forests. Most kids in Cambodia get to school and church by riding a motorcycle with a parent. Or they might take a tuk-tuk, a carriage pulled by a motorcycle. Here's a Cambodian Book of Mormon. The Cambodian language is called Khmer. Its alphabet has 74 letters, the most of any alphabet in the world.
Last year, President Nelson announced that the church will build a temple in Phnom Penh, the capital city. The temple will help families like this one be sealed together forever. Many primary children in Cambodia are the only Christians at their school. Most people in Cambodia practice a religion called Buddhism. Their religion teaches them to be honest, peaceful, and wise. People from all over the world visit this Buddhist monument. Meet some of our friends from Cambodia.
After I took the discussions with the missionaries at home, I was baptized and I'm so happy. Sina B, age 8, Kampong Thom, Cambodia.
I feel very happy when I obey God. Sinith B, age 6, Kampong Thom, Cambodia.
Thanks for exploring Cambodia with us. See you next time.
End of the article. Hello from Cambodia. Read by Enzo, Margo, and Chloe Patello, and Daniel McClellan.
Mara the Pioneer by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. October 2018, Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Mara buttoned her skirt and looked in the mirror. It felt funny to wear church clothes on a Saturday, but this was a special Saturday. It was General Conference.
Are you excited for the women's session?
Mak, Mom, asked. She brushed Mara's hair with quick, gentle strokes.
I want you to try to listen as much as you can.
Yes, I hope they tell pioneer stories.
Mara liked those the best.
Maybe they will. Did you know your dad is a pioneer?
Mara was confused. Her dad had never ridden in a covered wagon, like the early pioneers in the church.
How was he a pioneer?
Mock nodded toward the window, toward the river.
He was fishing there when he met the missionaries. He was the first one in his family to get baptized. That makes him a pioneer. Now let's go find your grandmother.
Yay! Grandma was waiting for them in the front room. Mara's family and her grandparents all lived together. Yay helped take care of Mara after school while her parents worked. Now Yay stood by the moped, the big motorized scooter that carried them around the city.
The church has only been in Cambodia for 25 years,
Mok told Mara as she opened the door and pushed the moped onto the street.
So we're all pioneers, even you.
How am I a pioneer?
Mara wondered as she got on the moped. Mok drove the moped, with Yay in the back and Mara in the middle. Mara held on tight as they zoomed down the crowded street. As they passed a cafe, the smell of tea wafted over them. Almost everyone here drank tea, but Mara didn't. She followed the word of wisdom. Mara grinned. That's one way she was a pioneer. As the moped turned a corner, Mara saw a wat, a Buddhist temple. The red pointed roof rose above the other buildings. Monks with shaved heads and orange robes sat studying in the courtyard. Mara knew that most people in Cambodia were Buddhist. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But Mara did.
That's another way I'm a pioneer,
thought Mara. And today she would get to listen to the prophet. As the moped turned into the church parking lot, Mara saw lots of women arriving. Some had walked or ridden mopeds. Others arrived in tuk-tuks, small carriages pulled by a motorbike. Many of the women wore dresses or plain skirts like Mara did, and some wore sampots, beautiful long skirts made of colorful patterned fabrics. Mara, Mok, and Ye sat down in the chapel with the other women. Conference had actually happened a whole week ago in Salt Lake City, Utah, USA. Now the people in Cambodia would be able to watch the broadcast in Khmer. Mara spoke both English and Khmer at home, and she also learned French in school. Many Cambodians just spoke Khmer. The first speaker didn't tell any stories about pioneers. But then the second speaker told a story about walking up a steep dirt path on her way home from school. It was called the Boys' Trail, and sometimes she would take off her shoes and walk barefoot. She wanted to do hard things so she could be like a pioneer. Mara smiled as she thought about all the ways she was a pioneer. The last speaker was the prophet. He stood tall. Mara listened extra closely. I invite you to read the Book of Mormon between now and the end of the year, he said. The heavens will open for you. The Lord will bless you. Mara knew it wouldn't be easy to read the whole Book of Mormon. She looked at the women around her. All of them had chosen to follow Jesus Christ. All of them had come to listen to the prophet. She would follow the prophet just like they did. She would be a pioneer. The author lives in Texas, USA. In the October 2018 General Conference, President Russell M. Nelson also announced that the church will build a temple in Cambodia.
End of the story, Mara the Pioneer. Read by April Johnson and Wes, Rena, and Shannon Nelson.
Lost in the Amusement Park by Eliza Broadbent, based on a true story.
Tucker and Lily are excited to be at the amusement park with their mom. Mom says,
stay close. We don't want to lose each other.
Tucker sees a really fun roller coaster he wants to ride.
Can we go on that one?
That might be too scary for Lily. Let's find one we can all go on.
He obeys his mom, but he can't help thinking about it. He keeps thinking about how fun it would be to ride the roller coaster. After a while, he decides to ask his mom one more time if he can ride the roller coaster.
Can we please go on the roller coaster next, Mom?
But she doesn't answer. He doesn't see either of them.
Mom? Lily?
He stands up on one of the park benches.
I'm never going to find them.
After looking as hard as he can, he sits down on the bench and thinks.
I need to pray. Heavenly Father, please help me find my family.
Soon he finds a security guard.
Can you help me? I don't know where my family is.
Sure. Don't worry. Let me make a call.
Moments later, the security team at the amusement park reunites him with his mom and sister.
Mom, Lily!
Tucker, we were so worried.
Heavenly Father answered my prayer,
he thinks. Taking Lily by the hand, he asks her,
hey, Lily, want to go on the bumper cars?
Pretty soon, they're bumping and bonking each other's cars on the bumper cars ride, and Tucker is grateful Heavenly Father helped him find his family.
End of the story, Lost in the Amusement Park. Read by Enzo Patello, Russ Tolman, Kara McClellan, and Austin Peterson.
The Living Christ. The prophets and apostles wrote The Living Christ to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Read part of it each month and memorize the line in red. Of the living Christ, the prophet Joseph wrote, "His eyes were as a flame of fire. The hair of his head was white like the pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun. And his voice was as the sound of the rushing of great waters. Even the voice of Jehovah saying, 'I am the first and the last. I am he who liveth. I am he who was slain. I am your advocate with the Father.'" Doctrine and Covenants, section 110, verse 3 and 4. A Vision of Jesus Christ. On March 27, 1836, the prophet Joseph Smith dedicated the Kirtland Temple, the first temple built after the church was brought back to earth. The next Sunday, Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery prayed in the temple and saw a vision of Jesus Christ. Jesus told them that he lives. He told them to be happy because their sins were forgiven. Joseph Smith wrote down what Jesus looked like and what he said. Go to temples.churchofjesuschrist.org to find out which temple is closest to you. Then look at pictures of temples and draw one. Every temple is dedicated as a house of the Lord. How do you think it feels to be in Jesus' house? End of the article, The Living Christ. Read by Mia Peterson.
Apostles around the world. Elder Anderson visits Ivory Coast. One of the first steps in building a new temple is a special meeting called a groundbreaking. Elder Neil L. Anderson and his wife, Sister Kathy Anderson, travel to Ivory Coast for the groundbreaking of a new temple. Children used gold-colored shovels to help break the ground for the temple. Then construction could begin. It will take about 2 years to build the temple. Elder Anderson gave a prayer to dedicate the land for the new temple. He and Sister Anderson gave talks in French, the official language there. Sister Anderson said it makes her happy that Jesus lets us go inside his house, the temple. We receive blessings there that we can't receive anywhere else on earth. Let us devote ourselves to be ready to enter the dedicated temple. Let us be more true to following the Savior. Right now, members in Ivory Coast travel for 12 hours to get to the closest temple in the country of Ghana. In a few years, they will be able to go to a beautiful temple in their own country. Here's what the temple will look like. See page 19. End of the article, Elder Anderson Visits Ivory Coast. Read by Shannon Nelson. Fun stuff, find it! The people who live in this big city love their community garden. Can you find the hidden objects? How many veggies can you name? Look for broccoli, golf club, an arrow, asparagus, a ladder, a ruler, an envelope, a comb, a starfish, a crown, a fish, a waffle, a leaf, a lollipop, and a button. End of Fun Stuff, Find It, read by Shannon Nelson.
The Perfect Match by Katie Pike Brooks. Based on a true story. Love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. Maggie loved things that matched. She wore her dark hair in two matching braids almost every day. Her purple backpack matched her purple notebook perfectly. And she carefully sorted her food into matching colors at lunchtime. One day after lunch, Maggie walked out to the playground. She was about to join her friends when she saw someone sitting alone by the side. It was a girl with long blonde hair. Maggie sat down next to the girl.
"What's your name?"
"Anna,"
the girl whispered. She sniffed and wiped her eyes.
What's wrong?
No one will play with me,
Anna said, looking up sadly at Maggie. Then Maggie saw that Anna had pretty green eyes. Maggie knew another girl who also had green eyes and blonde hair. The two girls would match perfectly.
I know someone who can play with you,
Maggie told Anna.
You do?
Anna asked with a hopeful smile.
Yes, Sarah from my class.
Maggie pointed to a girl jumping rope.
See her over there? She would probably play with you.
Oh.
Her face melted back into a frown. Maggie didn't know what to do next.
Well, I'll see you later,
she said, standing up and walking over to her friends. But Maggie couldn't forget Anna's sad eyes. That night at dinner, she told her family about what happened.
She needed someone to play with?
Mom asked.
Yeah, but she wouldn't go ask Sarah to play, even though they both have blonde hair and green eyes.
Dad looked over at Maggie.
Why didn't you play with Anna?
Maggie's mouth fell open.
Because Sarah and the girl matched.
Mom said as she wiped the baby's face.
Do you remember what Jesus says about how we should treat other people?
We should love them?
Mom smiled and nodded.
It doesn't matter whether our body looks the same as someone else's, Dad said. It doesn't even really matter if they think the same way we do or believe in the same things. The most important thing is that our actions match what Jesus taught.
Maggie felt a warm tingling in her body, and she knew that Dad was right.
I'll remember that.
The next day at recess, Maggie looked for Anna. She found her sitting alone by the sandbox.
Hi.
Hello,
Anna said quietly.
Do you want to come play with my friends and me?
Now Anna looked up. Her green eyes sparkled brightly as a smile spread across her face.
Really? Really?
Maggie said, helping Anna stand.
This feels like a perfect match,
Maggie thought, as the two ran off to play. The author lives in Utah, USA.
When choosing friends, what doesn't matter? It doesn't matter what they look like, how much money they have, how smart they are, whether their family is like yours, how popular they are, or what other people say about them. What does matter is that you treat them with kindness, even if they seem different, that they respect you and are kind to you, that they don't pressure you to make wrong choices. End of the story, The Perfect Match. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Shannon Nelson, Mia Peterson, and Russ Tolman.
I'm Christian, by Marissa Wittison, Church Magazines. When I was baptized and confirmed, I took the name of Christ. That means I choose to follow him and try to do what's right. I'm Christian. I believe that Christ is God's begotten Son, the Prince of Peace, Good Shepherd, Bread of Life, the Holy One. I'm Christian. I read scriptures daily, learning of his life, his miracles, his teachings, his eternal sacrifice. I'm Christian. I want the world to know Jesus died for them. Because he gave his life for us, we all will live again. I'm Christian. When my soul feels hurt by sin or earthly cares, I turn my heart to Jesus and I know he will be there. I'm Christian. I use what I have to help my friends in need. I try to do what Christ would do. I'm following his lead. I'm Christian. I forgive all those who choose to do what's wrong. I welcome peace and friendship and help people get along. I'm Christian. I remember Christ the way he asked us to. I take the sacrament each week and promise to be true. I'm Christian. Even when alone, I show integrity. I'm honest, brave, and virtuous. You can depend on me. I'm Christian. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. It's true. It's your turn now. Please share what being Christian means to you. Did you know the name Christians was first used in the New Testament to describe people in the city Antioch who followed Jesus? You can read about them in Acts 11:26. See Family Manual, page 111. End of the article, I'm Christian, read by Amelie Strongen.
Friend to Friend, It's His Church, by Elder Taniela B. Wakolo of the 70. I was born in Fiji. My parents were not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but they went to another church. When I grew up, I married my wife, Anita. She was a member of the church. She kept inviting the missionaries over to meet me. One day I told them they could come to dinner for the next 3 nights. I said they had to use only the Bible to answer my questions. Their answers were perfect. On the third night, they asked me a question. If you had a grocery store, what would you call it? I would call it the Wakolo Family Grocery Store, because it's my store, I answered. Who should a church be named after? They asked. It was a great question, and I knew the answer with my heart and soul. The true church would be named after Jesus, because it's his church, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was named after him. I had just one more question. When can I be baptized? 1 week later, I was. When I was baptized, I took upon myself Jesus Christ's name. That means I became a member of his church and promised to follow him. I try my best every day to live as he did. I know that this is Jesus Christ's true church. End of the article, It's His Church, by Elder Taniela B. Wakolo of the 70, read by Van Farnworth.
Show and tell.
Sometimes at school, when I have no work to do, I read the Book of Mormon. When I read it while at school, many kids ask, "What is that?" So I tell them what it is and a little about the gospel. It makes me feel good to share. Will M., age 12, California, USA.
When I was little, I was afraid of water. Even though people told me I didn't need to worry about being baptized, I was scared. The missionaries told me that Jesus Christ was baptized to set an example, and I could feel my fear go away. When I was baptized, I felt a great joy. Sarah T., age 11, Île-de-France, France.
I like to give hugs to other people. Ethan L., age 6, Occitanie, France.
I'd like to help and pray with my brother. Abnaiha G., age 5, Puerto Rico.
I like to play with Dad. Jatsiog G., age 7, Puerto Rico.
Brooke C., age 8, Alaska, USA, drew a picture of mountains with pioneers.
Verlon N., age 8, Tarlac, Philippines, drew a picture of him sharing the gospel.
I have a friend who I met at the beach during holiday. Friendship is a wonderful gift from Heavenly Father. Terezka J., age 6, Zlin Region, Czech Republic.
Hayden S., age 11, Utah, USA, drew a picture of himself reading the Book of Mormon on the bed.
Pioneers. Pioneers were faithful. Pioneers were true. Pioneers were courageous, and I want to be too. Eve R., age 10, Idaho, USA.
I help by feeding the chickens and gathering the eggs. Caleb O., age 7, Ohio, USA.
I played with my sisters, which made them happy. Kareen M., age 11, Arizona, USA.
Peter D., age 5, Florida, USA, said, "I pull in my garbage can and recycle can."
Alzbeta K., age 7, Zlín Region, Czech Republic, drew a picture of two happy people.
End of show and tell, read by Tess and Asher Hawkins.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy are playing a board game, commenting on each other's recent activities. Mandy says,
"Are you going to send something to the friend for the kindness garden? I saw you taking Mrs. Craig's trash out for her again."
Maybe I will. What about you? You've been helping that new girl at school catch up on her assignments.
Oh, yeah. Let's both do it.
Okay. Something you find in a garden, right?
Right. I'll find the colored paper.
I'll get crayons and markers.
Later, they show each other what they made.
I did a rose. I love roses. And you did a potato?
Off to the side, Matt's rubber chicken thinks.
It was supposed to be a gopher, but he forgot to make the legs.
End of this month's Matt and Mandy. Read by Dave Shaw, Miles McClellan, and Margot and Oceane Patello.
For older kids, tips to grow on. Going to bed and waking up at the same time every day helps you sleep better. Art challenge. Draw a CTR shield with your eyes closed, no peeking. God's amazing world. Did you know in the Philippines and many other places, people point with their lips? In Japan, it's polite to slurp your noodles loudly. When children in Greece lose a tooth, they throw it onto the roof for good luck. Brain teaser. What gets bigger the more you take out of it? See page 39 for the answer. I love to see the temple. The Arequipa Peru temple is under construction. Connect the dots to finish the temple.
Pioneer pageant. I got to play a part in the British pageant. I have really enjoyed portraying a wonderful girl. I have learned the sorrow she felt and the brave personality she was. The opportunity of being in the pageant has brought me closer to the Savior, and I will never forget it. Poppy F., age 11, West Sussex, England.
End of the article for older kids. Read by Shannon and Ethan Nelson.
Courageous Examples. A White Cap for Florence. By Jordan Monson Wright. Based on a true story. 13-year-old Florence Onyedjikwe reached her usual spot in the crowded outdoor market in Onitsha, Nigeria. The street was packed with sellers calling out to busy shoppers. Women balanced bundles on their heads as they walked. School had just ended for the holidays, and Florence knew her friends were enjoying the break from class. But Florence spent her holidays selling bitter leaf here at the market. It was her only chance to earn money for her school fees. Florence did not complain, though. After all, her mother spent long hours at the market every day selling yams to buy food for the family. Mama worked so hard. Her parents both did, but without an education, there was only so much they could do. Florence was almost finished with primary school. Perhaps if she could continue her schooling, she could get a good-paying job and help her family. When she returned home, Florence asked her parents,
"Do you think I could go to secondary school and maybe university?"
Mama looked at Nam, Dad, and shook her head. "University costs so much more than we have," said Nam. Florence looked down at her shoes. She didn't want Mama and Nam to see how disappointed she was. A few days later, Florence stopped at the hospital to pick up some medicine. The hospital was almost as busy as the market, though not as loud. Florence stared at the nurses in their crisp white caps. She pictured herself in a uniform like that, helping the sick and taking care of babies in a big hospital. Perhaps she could become a nurse. Florence knew her parents were right. Getting an education would be hard, but Florence knew how to work hard. She decided to try. No matter how many chores filled her day, Florence made time to study. She passed the tests for secondary school, and Nam borrowed enough money for her to go. Later, she found out the government would help pay for her nursing school. Her dream was within reach. But when it came time to begin nursing school, Florence felt a little doubt. What if nursing was too hard? What if she was lonely? Florence bowed her head and prayed,
"Dear God, please give me the strength to go to nursing school and work hard."
At nursing school, Florence learned to give medicine and keep tools clean from germs. Sometimes her patients got better, but sometimes they didn't. Florence prayed often for courage. After 3 long years, Florence graduated with the award for best student. Her dream had come true. She got to wear the white nurse's cap, and she was able to earn money to help her family. Many years later, Florence visited a small branch in the Ghana Accra mission. Her husband, Christopher Chukwura, was the mission president there. Florence met some children in the branch who couldn't always go to school. They weren't sure what to do with their futures. They reminded Florence of herself as a child.
"What can I say to help them?"
Florence prayed silently. Then she felt a clear prompting. "Tell them about your life." Florence thought about her life. She had worked in hospitals in Nigeria and the United States. She had married a good man, and together they had found the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She had become a mother. Now she was helping missionaries stay healthy and work hard. Heavenly Father had helped her become a nurse. He had helped her do so much more than she had imagined was possible. He could do the same for these children. Florence looked at the children and smiled.
"You know those white caps that nurses wear? I saw a cap like that and decided to become a nurse."
The author lives in Michigan, USA. Florence Chukwuera, born 1946, has worked as a nurse in Nigeria and the United States. She and her husband joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and served together in the Ghana Accra Mission. While talking about getting an education, Florence said, "I decided to be serious with my schoolwork. I made up my mind to work hard."
End of the story, A White Cap for Florence. Read by Scott Christopher and Shannon Nelson.
What's on your mind?
I want to be a missionary now.
How can I share the gospel with my friends?
Reddy and Reno.
Dear Reddy, there are lots of ways to share the gospel. One of the best ways is to be a friend. When you try to follow Jesus and share his love with others, people will notice your good example. Here's some ideas from Lilia K., age 9, from Mississippi, USA. What other ideas do you have? Keep shining. The friend. I can share the Book of Mormon with my friends. I can invite friends to church activities. I can invite friends to home evening.
End of this month's What's on Your Mind? Read by Sean and Jean Nelson.
Score One for Honesty by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Eli and Mitch stared at the broken plates. Now what? We believe in being honest. Articles of Faith 1:13. Eli ran to the window when he heard the pitter-patter of rain falling outside. He saw big black clouds and watched the rain hit the sidewalk.
"Man, how am I going to practice now?"
he said. Eli had just signed up for middle school football, and he had a game coming up. Eli's younger brother, Mitch, came to look out the window, too. That gave Eli an idea.
"Hey, Mitch, want to help me practice my football passes?"
"Inside?"
Mitch asked.
"Mom would get really mad."
"She won't find out. She's at the store. We just have to be careful."
"Well, okay."
Eli ran upstairs to grab his football. Then he and Mitch started throwing it back and forth. Eli made a catch in front of the couch. Then another. He was getting pretty good. He threw the ball back to Mitch. The ball sailed over Mitch's head. Mitch jumped, his arms outstretched, but it was too high.
"Oh, no!"
The football had smashed into the shelf where Mom kept her fancy dishes. He and Eli rushed over and stared at the pile of broken plates.
"Maybe we can glue them back together,"
Eli said. Mitch grabbed a tube of glue from the cabinet, and they tried to fit the pieces together, but some were chipped and couldn't be glued back right.
"Maybe we could throw the broken ones away. Mom might not even notice. We can space out the other dishes to fill in the gaps."
But as soon as the idea popped into his mind, he knew it was wrong. Eli had just become a deacon. He knew that honoring the priesthood meant he needed to be honest. When Dad ordained him, Dad said there might be times when he would be tempted to do the wrong thing, but that he would be able to make the right choice. Eli knew what he needed to do.
"What are we gonna do? Mom's gonna be really mad."
"We have to tell the truth."
When Mom got home with their baby sister, Annie, Eli and Mitch told her the bad news.
"Mom, I know we're not supposed to, but we were playing football inside. I threw the ball too hard and it crashed into the shelf and broke some plates. It's my fault. I'm sorry."
Mom looked at Eli and Mitch. She looked sad for a moment, then said,
"Thank you for being honest. I'm proud of you for telling me.
How can I make it right?
Well, you can start by helping me clean up the broken glass. Then while you help me with Annie, we'll talk about ways you can earn money to replace the plates.
After they cleaned up the mess, Eli spent the afternoon playing with Annie. He felt bad that he broke Mom's plates, but he learned that it will always feel good to be honest. The author lives in Colorado, USA. See the Family Manual, page 104, or Primary Manual, page 102.
End of the story, Score One for Honesty. Read by April Johnson, Miles and Daniel McClellan, and Rena Nelson.
Bike Rack Buddies, a true story written by you. Mindy B., age 13, Utah, USA. It was a regular day. I was getting my bike from the bike rack after school when I saw a girl around my age at the other end of the rack. I said, "Hi, my name is Mindy. What's yours?" "Hi, Mindy. My name's Madison," she said. Madison had straight brown hair and dark red glasses. She was sitting next to her bike. As I talked to her, she said a swear word, and I automatically said, "Please don't say that." "Okay, I'll just say, oh, my peanut butter, because me and my brother have an obsession with peanut butter," Madison said. "That seems okay," I said. Somehow, our conversation got around to religion. She told me she wasn't a member of the church. Madison told me that she lived with her mom and her mom's boyfriend. Eventually, I said, "Would you like a copy of The Friend?" "What's The Friend?" she asked, and I told her what it was. The next day, I brought her a copy. After she read it, she told me she liked it, and I gave her The New Era. Madison read that, and we continued to meet. She told me that she wants to get baptized. Someday, I'll give her the Book of Mormon and the Ensign. I hope that Madison will get baptized and, when she's old enough, go on a mission and get married in the temple. End of the story, Bike Rack Buddies. Read by Brittany Cotto.
For Parents of Little Ones. On July 24th, we celebrate Pioneer Day. And it's not just for families in Utah or for those with ancestors who pulled handcarts. Each of us have family members who helped pave the way for our success. Or maybe we are the pioneers. Here are some fun things parents and leaders have done to celebrate this holiday with little ones. Karen H. said, "We don't limit it to Pioneer Day. We have a home evening once a month about one of our ancestors. We tell a story about them and show a photo if we have one. We talk about the temple and how we will be with these ancestors again someday." Rachel M. said, "We sang To Be a Pioneer in primary and invited converts to share their stories. While they were talking, we made homemade butter by shaking a jar of cream. We talked about what it means to be a modern pioneer and ended with eating rolls and butter." Emily H. said, "Our family dressed up like different ancestors and ate food my parents remembered their grandparents making. We talked about the different ways our ancestors were pioneers. First to move to our country, first to go to college, first to join the church, etc. Are there any topics you'd like this letter to address? Send us an email at friend@churchofjesuschrist.org and let us know." End of For Parents of Little Ones, read by Wes Nelson.
Hi, friends. I am a child of God. He loves me. Naomi, age 3, Kasai Central, Democratic Republic of the Congo. Drawing of a Temple by Hallie, age 5, Utah, USA. I help clear the table. Damien, age 3, Occitanie, France. I can give a hug or kiss to show love. Himi, age 4, Auckland, New Zealand.
Prayer at the Market by Jennifer Maddie. Valerie and Mama walked to the market. Valerie saw colorful fruits and silver fish. She smelled the beautiful flowers for sale. Valerie looked around. Where was Mama? Valerie was scared. She folded her arms and bowed her head. She whispered, "Heavenly Father, please help me find Mama." Valerie waited. Then she heard someone calling her name. There was Mama. "Thank you, Heavenly Father," Valerie whispered. Valerie was happy she could pray when she needed help. End of the article, Prayer at the Market, read by Amelie Strongen.
Scripture stories. Jesus said to share the gospel. After Jesus died and was resurrected, he visited his followers. He told his apostles to teach all people to obey the commandments and be baptized. Peter was now the prophet who would lead the church on earth. Jesus promised that the Holy Ghost would be with them. After teaching his followers, Jesus returned to heaven. The apostles started traveling and teaching people in different lands. I can help share the gospel too. I can be a good friend and stand up for what's right. Read what Jesus taught in Matthew 28 and Acts 1. End of the article, Jesus Said to Share the Gospel, read by Miles McClellan.
A New Friend at Lunch by Christopher Deaver and Shannon Tuttle-Leakey, based on a true story. At school, Austin sat in a circle with his class. His teacher taught them songs to sing. Austin sang as loud as he could. During lunch, Austin sat with his friends. They shared cookies. They ate sandwiches. They told jokes. Everyone was happy. Except one boy did not look happy. Austin saw him sitting alone. The boy started to cry. At home, Austin sat at the kitchen table while Dad chopped vegetables. "How was school?" Dad asked. "It was fun, but there was a new boy at school. I don't think he had a great day," Austin said. "Why not?" "He was sitting alone at lunch and crying," Austin frowned. "It sounds like he was pretty sad," Dad said. "How could you help him?" Austin rested his chin in his hands. Then he sat up straight. He had an idea. "Maybe I could talk to him at lunch, and I could ask him to sit with me and my friends." "That's a good idea," Dad said. The next day, Austin looked for the boy at lunch. The boy was sitting alone. "Hi," Austin said. "I'm Austin. What's your name?" "Hi," said the boy. "I'm Max. Want to sit with me and my friends?" "Sure," said Max. Austin and Max sat with Austin's friends. They shared cookies. They ate sandwiches. They told jokes. Everyone was happy, including Max. The author lives in California and Utah, USA. End of the article, A New Friend at Lunch. Read by Dwayne Case.